Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Wrestle Talk podcast. I am Chopper P. Quinnell, no longer your Jam That champion, and I'm joined as always by my intangible co-host, the longest reigning Quizmania champion of all time, hopefully continuing that tonight, Tempest the Wrestler. Hi, Tempest.
Hello. Yes, hi. It would be rather a bad few days for LIW if I was to not do that, so I'm just going to do that.
Yeah, if you could just not do that, that would be great. We have some sort of legitimacy left, even though, not that I'm salty about this or anything, but I did win at Survivor Series 5-2. Like, that's a really convincing victory of 5-2, and everyone, like, the whole time through my whole championship reign, being like, oh, you only win with draws and and it's just not true at Survivor Series, and now that's the show that I'd lost the title at. Jam in the Jar is stupid is what I'm saying. Stupid ass Luke and his... Anyway, how you doing, man?
I can't complain too much. Got a very busy day ahead of me today, Pete. I got this, I got After Dark, I got Fan Quizlemania, and I've got Real Quizlemania. So by the end of that, I'm going to be ready to just kick back, watch Dynamite, not think about work, and just relax a little bit, maybe play some Pokemon at the same time. You never know.
We'll talk about more about Pokemon in the outro, because I want to know what you're doing in this game. But yes, lots of things coming up, and obviously After Dark later as well, which is going to be a riot, hopefully, because it's going to be me, you, and Abby, I think, and Andy will be there at the start, because everyone else is busy or not working today. So all-star lineup, LIW and Abby. Anyway, let's talk about NXT, because we've actually not got that long on the podcast here. So let's get into the main show, where we're going to be talking about a DIY reunion, because it's old school versus new school in NXT War Games. And in the old school team, it's both Gargano and Ciampa. DIY is back, everybody. Let's talk about it. DIY back together, reunion at NXT War Games. It's going to be Gargano and Ciampa on the same team at War Games. That's kind of crazy, because, you know, it's going to be old school versus new school. We're going to get into all of that on this episode of NXT 2.0. Also, we're sponsored by Beer 52. They're great. Beer52.com/WrestleTalk. 10 free craft beers. Talk about them more later. And get in your Ultra Chats at WrestleTalk.com/support. Hi, Tempest. How you doing?
I'm good. I'm good. How you doing, pal?
Yeah, no, I'm great. Yeah.
You sure?
Yeah, no, I'm great. Yeah. Why'd you ask?
Okay. No reason in particular. Yeah, you may have
changed up the look. I know you kind of went through something this week. You know, I just wanted to check in.
Losing the jam, that championship after winning at Survivor Series 5-2 and using his jam in the jar to steal the title away from me and ending my reign at 154 days when it should have been much longer and would have held it until the Royal Rumble and been the longest reign that no one could ever beat. You mean all of that stuff? Oh, that's in the past. Yeah, no, nothing wrong with me at all. Mm-hmm. What are we talking about?
Okay. Okay. I suppose you don't have the hair on the top of the head to do the taxi driver thing, so I guess this is the next best thing.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to make sure that everything's good, that I'm not going to get blown up somehow.
No. Nothing's wrong, Tempest. Does this look like anything's wrong? I'm great. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, Luke's not helping. That's not Luke. That's Luke. Oh dear. We got to review NXT.
So about NXT. NXT 2.0, everybody. Which the main talking point we're going to be talking about is this old school versus new school war games that's going to be happening with like the new stars of NXT 2.0 versus the NXT stars of 1.0, which were set up on this show, where it's the lineup that we ended up with at the end of the show is it's going to be on the old school team, those NXT 1.0 legends. It's Pete Dunne, it's Johnny Gargano, it's Tommaso Ciampa, and LA Knight, for some reason. He's also there. And then on the new school side of things, we have got Mr. Bron Breakker himself, who announced War Games. How dare you? Stand where William Regal once stood. And also, we have got Tony D'Angelo. Hey! Forget about it.
Forget about it. The Gabagool.
Yeah, exactly. Sorry, I've lost track of what I was thinking about. Bron Breakker, Tony D'Angelo, Carmelo Hayes, and Grayson Waller. That's the four-man team for the new school, which also means, of course, that we have a DIY reunion on the old school side. Obviously, they had the little tease of the stare-down between Gargano and Ciampa not long ago. So now, is this going to lead to some sort of this a final hurrah for Johnny? Is this going to be some sort of him leaving soon? There's rumors of his contract expiring soon. So is this going to be like his final, you know, farewell to NXT? Is this going to lead into a Gargano Ciampa program after this? Like, I don't know what's going to happen because there's faces and heels on both sides. There's loads of different ways the stories can go. I have no idea what's happening with this match. What do you reckon, Tempest?
Yeah, I think we'll get a better sense of where things might be going depending on how Johnny Gargano is used in this match. If he eats the pin, I think that might be a little bit telling that perhaps this will be his farewell. I don't know that. Again, that's all speculation, but we will see. Otherwise, it's like, yeah, I don't know. This match, I have questions for sure. I have a lot of questions. Like, who am I supposed to be cheering for? Because I don't know, because there's heels and baby faces on both sides, which is a little bit odd, but what can you do? I can appreciate that this War Games is something different from just, hey, the Undisputed Era wants to fight four guys, which is what they did every single year before this one.
Yep.
So that's good. That's different. I don't know how good it is. Because I'm very confused about who I'm supposed to cheer for. But we're going to be positive on this show. We're getting a DIY reunion. That's neat. That's interesting. I haven't seen that five times before already. Yeah. You know, I'm kind of played out of DIY. I gotta be perfectly honest. I don't really want to see them go back to each other. But
no, I'm kind of
they're destined
over
to do it forever.
I know that they've obviously been apart for quite a long time now, since when was the last one? That was during like the WrestleMania takeover, whatever that was, for WrestleMania 36, or the 2021, right? That was when they had their final beat match.
Final beat where they're like touching each other's hands, and it's really like It's just the I'm sorry I love you moment stretched out over 30 minutes, basically.
Pretty much, yeah. So obviously they've been apart for quite a long time, but they're bringing them back together for this match. I'm not super jazzed about it. I'm kind of overseeing it now. I really enjoyed their feud. Was what it was. I don't want to see it again now at this point. And I don't know if I want to see the team back together either. Again, not super jazzed. They had, you know, when they had the Worlds Collide thing and they had the team up against, was it Mustache Mountain they teamed up against, I think?
Yeah.
And like, I wasn't super sold on that either at the time. So I'm not super invested in seeing them back together now. But I think the concept of having old school versus new school is a good idea. I just don't know if I'm sold on the execution of it. Like you said, I don't know who I'm supposed to be cheering for here. And you'd assume that the new school is going to win because that's the point, right? You're meant to be putting over all these new stars as NXT 2.0. It's the new developmental. You'd assume that probably Bron Breakker's going to win because he's the guy that they're going to want to be pushing. The story they're wanting to tell is Bron Breakker failed the first time against Ciampa, and then he's going to be building himself up, and then Bron Breakker's going to eventually beat Ciampa for the title down the line, you'd assume. So this War Games match sounds like a good opportunity for Bron Breakker to get a massive win, potentially against someone like a Johnny Gargano. But it's just the other components that are involved in the match just feel very tacked on. Because I understand you want to give Bron Breakker a big win, but having it be as part of a 4-on-4 War Games with various faces and heels on different sides, I feel like it makes everything a little bit muddled, even though the concept should work.
I agree. I don't know who I'm supposed to cheer for here. And I guess in theory, there's two baby faces on the old school side. So that's more than the one baby face that's on the new school side. But that's over half of the people in this match being heels. And I don't really know what the deal is with all of that. You know, I think it works if you've got like, this is the team of heels and this is the team of baby faces and one heel. And, are they going to turn? Oh, can we trust the one heel? You know, you can play with that. But when everything is kind of like, can they coexist-esque? I'm just like, well, I don't even know who I'm supposed to cheer for. Like, why is Bron Breakker just aligning himself with these three heels for the sake of doing old school versus new school? You know, it's the problem that I've had with NXT War Games since the first one, that it always feels very forced, you know? And this, again, feels very forced, where it just, like, they only set up a War Games match because everyone started brawling at the end of the show. You know, if Grayson Waller and LA Knight don't come out at the end of the show and bump into Tony D'Angelo, this doesn't happen. And I don't think that's a very good build for a big pay-per-view.
Yeah, not particularly. And also, Bron Breakker just coming out and just going, War Games! And then them fighting. It's like, well, why would anyone else agree to this?
Where's Regal?
Yeah, and you're not Regal, Bron Breakker. I don't care if you did it well. It's not Regal. But I understand the idea of just being like, well, cheer who you want to cheer for. You know, old fans will probably cheer for the old school, and new fans will cheer for the new school, and that's fine. You can cheer for whoever you want. I get that, but I think the storytelling elements involved in the match are going to suffer if there isn't a clear kind of good versus evil, because it's not just, you know, eight baby faces and you cheer who you want to cheer for. There's a lot of heels and guys that you shouldn't be cheering for, but they're going to end up on a side that you want to cheer for. So unless they can like soft turn all of the new school guys baby face, you know, Tony D'Angelo's been getting some good reactions anyway, Carmelo Hayes is pretty cool, people are into Bron Breakker anyway, and Grayson Waller was a babyface like not long ago and has just turned heel and cut a very you people promo, so he's the antithesis of a babyface right now. Maybe if they can soft turn all of them babyface for this match, then it might work. But then they'd also have to turn Ciampa and Gargano heel, and it's like whatever. Or maybe they're just going to go with the old school being the babyfaces, and it's going to be because it seemed like, you know, I think they're going to have a much easier time of turning Pete Dunne and LA Knight face. So then you'd have Bron Breakker play a bit more of a heel role in the match, potentially. I'm not overly against it, but it just feels, yeah, a bit muddled, I think, in storytelling elements. But in general, I feel like this is probably one of the better concepts for the War Games matches they've done in NXT. Because the rest of them are Undisputed Era versus blank.
Yeah. And usually it's Undisputed Era versus a mishmash group thrown together for the purposes of War Games. Hmm. This is not that. And I appreciate that it's not that. I don't know. Like you said, I think it's very muddled. And I don't know. I just wish it was a little bit clearer, you know, because I don't want to be like booing the new school, quote unquote. But I mean, there's three heels on that team. And I mean, I think Pete Dunne and I guess LA Knight are more likable right now than like Grayson Waller has been.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, I guess I'm supposed to cheer for the old school, which is the same problem that WCW made 20 years ago. But they're like, oh yeah, this new blood rising faction, what a bunch of dicks. Let's cheer for the old guard. So I don't know. I will go into it cautiously optimistic. I hope it's going to be a good match, but this seems like a match that could just end up being a bunch of spots, because I think it's hard for something like this to really tell that like cohesive story when there's so many seemingly conflicting puzzle pieces, but I'm hoping that's not the case.
Yeah, 100%. And I'm sure it's going to be fun, superficially at least, fun. But yeah, it's just the actual storytelling feels a little bit off right now.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
We'll talk more about this show in detail in a second here. Firstly, let's get into some of your Ultra Chats. Make sure to get those in at wrestletalk.com/support to get in your Ultra Chats, where we will go through those later. Don't send any Ultra Chats about my beard. I promise I'm fine. Anyway.
He's fine, y'all. Fine. He's fine.
I said I'm fine and nothing's going wrong. I've just lost the championship and everything I stand for the last 6 months. But other than that, I'm totally fine.
He's fine.
Ryan DR says, all right, so we have the originals versus the new blood. I mean, the new breed. I mean, the new class. Does this setup feel familiar to anyone else?
A little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit. There's no Matt Stryker involved this time. This is an improvement.
hey, don't diss on Matt Stryker. He's fine sometimes.
Sure. That's a hot take.
Not in the WrestleTalk office. We spoke about this the other day, or maybe on the live reactions or something, that we were saying all of us were Matt Stryker apologists.
Damn. Yeah. I don't know that I want to come anymore.
Totally sex tape. Anyway, do we have any more? We do. Okay. Matthias L. said, the timing of the podcast comes in perfect for me today. Some background noise while I prep and make a hair stew. That's H-A-R-E, not H-A-I-R, just for clarity's sake. Ever tried it? It is so much better than people expect. L-I-W for life. No.
I have not tried hair stew.
No, I've never tried hair before.
Yeah. It's because you don't have any.
Yeah, there it is. Yeah. There's the joke. Yeah. Not H-A-I-R. H-A-R-E stew.
It's a rabbit.
It's a rabbit stew. Let's go with that.
Yeah.
Joseph Ray says, hello, lads. Tempest, I asked the boys what their favorite food was on the Survivor Series stream. Pete said a Sunday roast, so I wanted to know yours. A meal you can eat day in, day out without tiring. Also, for both of you, what's a food you hate? Love, XO.
Ooh. It's tough. It changes all the time. I think, honestly, my favorite food is probably, like, a good baked mac and cheese. Like, a good, proper baked mac with the breadcrumbs on top and... That's some good stuff. There's a lot of stuff I like, you know, sushi. I think I have a pretty good palate when it comes to food. You know, I love food of different cultures. I love Indian food. I love Japanese food. I love all kinds of food. As far as a food that I don't like, it's tough. It's tough. I really am not a big fan of meatloaf. Just regular old meatloaf. And it's a texture thing as opposed to, like, taste. Because that to me is the big thing. Like if I'm eating food and I don't appreciate the texture, it can be tough. Yeah.
Food I hate. I don't really hate like a specific kind of like dish or anything. I really don't like coriander. In general, I feel it tastes like toothpaste. It's terrible. But other than that, I don't really overly hate any specific dishes, I'd say, but.
Damn, anyway. Sounds like a lot of people in the chat are not fans of breadcrumbs on mac and cheese. Some of y'all need a better taste.
Yeah, legit. Breadcrumbs is amazing.
Yeah. Maybe, I don't know. I feel like this is like I'm blowing minds with this concept. Maybe these folks have never seen the kind of mac and cheese that I'm talking about.
Yeah, maybe not.
Maybe not. Yeah, I did see one person post a picture like yesterday on Twitter somewhere of like a mac and cheese that had like peas and carrots in it, and I was like, whoa, Christ almighty, I would leave.
Yeah, that's not good.
No.
Ugh.
Breadcrumbs are great. Y'all are nuts.
Anyway, keep sending in your Ultra Chats to WrestleTalk.com/support. We're going to get through all the rest of them later that are $5 and up. But before we get into the review of NXT itself, I just want to say that we are sponsored, as we have been for ages, by Beer 52. Go check them out at beer52.com/WrestleTalk. You get yourself 10 free craft beers, UK viewers only. All you have to do is pay for the postage of $5.95, and you get the crate sent to your door, and you get the 10 free beers, and you get a snack, and you get a magazine, and they're really tasty, and expands your palate of beers. It helps you appreciate beer that's not just, you know, the standard beers that you buy from the store. These are proper, nice, curated beers just for you. So go check them out. They are fantastic. We love them very much. We've been sponsored for ages. Luke was a subscriber to Beer52 for ages before they even sponsored us. They're great. Beer52.com/WrestleTalk. Click the link, top of the description, in the live chat. Do the thing. Go check them out. Beer52. They're great. Let's talk about NXT, shall we?
I don't know. I'm kind of hung up on this whole mac and cheese thing. I was not expecting this to be such a divisive opinion.
Yeah, no, that's just...
just breadcrumbs. It's not like I'm putting, like, Brussels sprouts in it or something. You know?
It's not like you're having mac without the cheese.
Yeah. You know?
That would be just divisive.
It's just pasta, but just like a little bit more like texture to it. A
little bit of crunch on the top, you know?
Yeah, a little bit of crunch. I don't know. I'm curious. I'm so...
What's wrong?
I don't know.
What's wrong with breadcrumbs? They're so inoffensive. Breadcrumbs are so inoffensive. Goodness me. Anyway, this episode of NXT 2.0 kicked off with Grayson Waller interrupting the intro sting to the show. Like,
I was
cutting
very
off
confused
the...
by this.
Yeah. I didn't.
I was just like, what's happening?
Yeah.
I was like, whoa.
Like, I guess it's good because it's different. Question mark?
I didn't have a problem with it. I was just like, what's happening? Did I miss something?
Yeah.
I'll never forget. There was like one point in 2010 where they started Raw in the middle of a beatdown.
Mm.
And I was like, what's happening? What have I missed? It's like Randy Orton just started the show beating up. Or no, it wasn't Randy Orton. Someone was beating up Evan Bourne. And I was like, what's going on? I need to know what's happening to Evan Bourne.
But did Grayson Waller turn heel last week, or is this a new thing?
Because I think he's been heel for a few weeks. I don't know when this happened. Some point between Halloween Havoc and this point, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
I liked this promo a little bit.
Yeah. I was going to say, I thought this was decent. He really played up to the crowd of the whole idea of the fan base of NXT 2.0 is watching the future and watching the stars of tomorrow and all that stuff. And he really played off that by being like, you people boo John Cena, you boo The Rock, you boo Roman Reigns. And he's just saying, you're all fickle and, you know, all that stuff. But he's playing off those particular like names of like the past and obviously Roman Reigns being the present. It's not talking about the future, which is the point of the show. So, of course, people booed him. I thought this was a good little promo. Good solid stuff from Grayson Waller.
I really liked this little promo, actually. Mm. You know? Like, it was a rare promo on NXT 2.0 where I watched it and I'd be like, I believe everything that he's saying. Because he's not wrong. Mm. Why should I care about what you fans think? You booed The Rock, and then he left. You booed John Cena, and then he left. You booed Roman Reigns, and now he's killing it. Why should I care what you think? I don't. I'm just going to be me. I'm going to be Grayson Waller, the future of the business. Like, yeah, it was a good little promo. And it started with, like, one of the best opening matches I've seen on NXT 2.0.
Yeah, dude. The following Waller versus Ciampa match was really good. Like, it was decent going back and forth stuff. I was like, this is a fun little opener. I'm enjoying this. And then they got into the final 5 minutes, and I was like, oh my God, this is great. This is really fun. There was some fun little spots throughout, like Waller, after doing, you know, mentioning The Rock in the promo, he did The Rock spinebuster and did the people's elbow, but he missed because he was being very arrogant about it and all that stuff. Makes a lot of sense. And they had a really fun, really fluid, like, ending sequence as well. Loads of, like, counters into roll-ups. Waller hit a massive dive to the outside, did, like, his roll-through, attempted to go for the stunner. Ciampa rolled him out of the ring, through the middle rope, straight into a widow's bell, and then straight into the fairy tale ending, and Ciampa got the win. This was really good stuff. Like, Waller looked much better than he had in all his previous matches. Obviously, he's in there with probably a much better wrestler in the form of Ciampa, who can make him look better, but also... I think Waller really held his own in this one. Looked great coming out of it. This is how you put someone over in defeat. Because at the end of this, I was like, damn, Grayson Waller's really good.
Yeah. Honestly. And these are not the same situation, but I thought this match helped Grayson Waller a lot more than the title match helped Bron Breakker.
Mm.
You know?
That's fair.
It's just like, I didn't think that Bron Breakker came out of that match looking better than he did. And I definitely look at Grayson Waller differently now. I don't know what that was, but my house is collapsing or something. It was a loud noise outside. I apologize. But yeah, I really like this match. I thought the finishing sequence was really, really good. And then, yeah, like, this is just a really good start to NXT. If we started off NXT every week with a blowaway match, good stuff.
Yeah. This was...
That's the
Did
wrong
Did you just
button.
Leave?
Accidentally, I tried to mute myself.
This podcast is going well today. after that, yeah, really nice little opener. We had LA Knight backstage watching it, and he said that no one likes Grayson Waller. And then Joe Gacy interrupts, and Joe Gacy was back to the Gacy of old that we know and hated. With him just going back straight back to the buzzwords on this one of safe spaces and triggered and all that jazz that we've spoken about before. They set up a match for later tonight of LA Knight versus Joe Gacy, which never ended up happening, but we'll talk about that more later. We had backstage, we had Toxic Attraction coming in, and then Dakota Kai just kind of walked up next to them, and then they were like, oh, what are you doing? Oh, you're on our team. Okay. And then they carried on walking. And then there was a load of destruction backstage, like someone had run rampant backstage, a load of like glass was broken, and they were like, oh, what's going on here? And then they walk off, and then Kaylee Ray walks into shot with a bat. It's like, okay, she's just done property damage. All right, cool. You're still
muted. Yeah, she just likes breaking things, and like, I get it. Like, yeah, that's as much a character trait as anything else on this show has been. It's just like, it's cool, but... No, it's fine. I'm just like, she's just leaving property damage everywhere where she goes.
Yep.
I don't know how long that would fly in a workplace, but this is wrestling after all.
Yeah, for sure. We then got a promo from Cameron Grimes, and you know what? I'm really digging Cameron Grimes' character right now with the Poker Showdown, which I'm so glad I missed. Was a disaster, right? It was terrible. But this Cameron Grimes, after he got his beard and his hair cut, he has a much shorter beard now, and he has shorter hair that's kind of like shoulder length rather than like, you know, much, much longer that he had before. And he cut a very kind of like sincere promo straight to the camera. He looked a little bit like deranged as he was saying it. You could tell that he was like angry about everything that Duke Hudson had done. And like, I'm not super into the reason why he's so upset about it. You know, he was saying that like, I had a long beard and long hair to remind me of when I used to have that when times weren't so hard. But you know what? They've given a reason for him to be upset about it. That's not just you cut my hair and I liked my hair. You know, they've tried to give an emotional reason behind it, which I appreciate. I think Cameron Grimes cut a fantastic promo here. It was a really good babyface promo. And I really like the look. I'm really into this Cameron Grimes character. Despite the Poker Showdown being awful, they managed to turn it around with this promo. And then they set up a hair versus hair match with Duke Hudson at War Games, which, you know, should be fun. Cool. I'm into it.
Yeah. Yeah, I really like this promo. I really like this promo. And just like as a human, I think Cameron Grimes looks much better this way.
Yeah,
like
he does.
He might not have like as much of a distinct look as he did with the long scraggly beard and the long grimy hair and everything, but I think he just looks a lot better. It's just like, I don't know. I think he looks a very, very distinguished man now. I really like this promo. There was like emotional weight to it. You know, which is odd considering this whole feud has been built on poker. Mm. I don't know what all that's about, but regardless, I thought that this was really, really good. You know, Cameron Grimes, we've said for months, has just been one of the highlights of NXT. He had this really good feud with LA Knight that we were super invested in. And then it just felt like, oh, we don't know what to do with Cameron Grimes anymore. He's looking for a girlfriend, which just never went anywhere. And now he's in a really emotional feud again, and that's the kind of thing that I want to see. I want to see this guy cutting emotional promos and having good matches, and hopefully this big match with Duke Hudson is going to be really good.
Mm-hmm. I genuinely recommend, if you've not seen NXT, to go and look at what Cameron Grimes looks like now, because he came out, you know, obviously much more subdued with just like the jacket and the hair kind of scraggling across his face on like the much short beard, and I was like, I pretty dig his look. I think it looks really good, honestly. I think it really suits him, and I'm hoping that this can lead to something good. I don't know whether he's going to lose at War Games. That's the thing. Because if he does lose and he has to shave the hair, I think I'll be less into it. Because I think he looks good right now. But, you know, I've been proven wrong before, so maybe it'll be great. Who knows?
I don't think going bald would be beneficial for Cameron Grimes. Okay. You know? I think he's got a look that works for him. Even now that it's slightly toned down, I think this look works for him maybe I'm wrong. He's entertaining enough that I'm sure he could get some really good content out of being bald, but I don't know. I would like to see Duke Hudson get shaved. He's suave. He could be a suave bald man, as you know.
Thank you. Yeah. And you know, as Cameron Grimes has had a shave and make his beard look so much better, as have I. You know, mm-hmm. we're two peas in a pod. You know? It's great. Anyway. Mm-hmm. After that, we got a Pete Dunne promo. I'm the baddest man in NXT. Prove me wrong. Etc. The usual. We then had the Indy Hartwell and Persia Pirata saying that Dexter Lumis is out for a bit after having his hand broken, and Indy was very, very upset about it. Which then played off in the following match, which was Indy and Persia versus Casey and Caden. Casey and Caden, when they made their entrance, the commentators said, continuing to climb the ladder in the NXT Women's Tag Team Division. That ladder is maybe one rung long.
It's a step stool. It's a step stool. There's like two teams in this division.
Yeah, I just... Whatever. I can't bring myself to care anymore. It's fine. They had a match, and I thought that the idea behind the story they were trying to tell of Indy being really distracted at Dexter being injured was a nice idea if it was done subtly. To be like, oh, Indy's distracted, or something else is on her mind, or something like that. But her literally like doing a move and then going and looking at the ring on her finger, it's like, okay, this now just made it bad.
Yeah, yeah. And that to me is the thing, because to storytelling in wrestling, when you got to do it like in the actual match, I think is done best when it's done subtly. Because it would be much more effective to me if they just had a match and Casey Catanzaro and Caden Carter won because Indy made a mistake. And you could say, oh, maybe she had an off night because her mind was elsewhere. It would be like if somebody kicked a football and you catch it and the guy who caught it just goes, oh, just forgets where they are. The guy goes up to plate to play baseball and he hits it. It's a pop up. The guy's underneath it and goes, oh, I can't play anymore. My boyfriend broke his hand. It's just so overacted. And it's so unrealistic. And this is the kind of thing that snaps me out of a storyline and a match so quickly. It's like, just be subtle. WWE is as subtle as a brick.
Yeah. Obviously, Casey and Caden won because Indy was distracted. Just before that match, we had a little promo package for Tiffany Stratton.
Thought we were getting Tiffany back.
And no, not quite. but it's Tiffany Stratton. Tiffany's Epiphanies was the name of the thing. She plays tennis. That's what I got from this one.
Daddy's rich girl.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's cool. Apparently she's like a gymnast performance center trainee. So I have no thoughts about this, you know, whatsoever. Like, well, we'll see how it goes. I hope I hope she does well. There was a very small morbid part of me that wishes that this was like Tiffany. You know, because I feel like Tiffany would fit in so well on NXT 2.0.
I'm not even going to say it. I could just do the hand movements. We then got a recap of Santos coming back last week and being really cool, which set up the Santos versus Malik Blade match afterwards after an ad break, which Santos won in 2 minutes. Nothing really to talk about in that match. It was very quick. Santos won. Malik got a little bit of offense, but nothing too major. And then we got some promos from Kyle O'Reilly and Von Wagner. Von Wagner's not great at promos, is he?
No. He's not. This hey, dumbasses. Silence. Oh my god.
It's not good.
It's rough.
Yeah. It wasn't a great promo. And they were saying that they wanted the tag team titles, which is what Legado El Fantasma were talking about. They wanted the tag team titles. And then Imperium came out on, you know, like the staging up at the top and were just saying, hey, both of you are idiots and fight amongst yourselves and we'll fight the winners at War Games.
I am now, because I've noticed it the first time, I'm now tired of the staging placement of, we have three people or three acts in a promo. We've got one on the floor, one in the ring, one up in the little crow's nest. It's become a pattern now, and I won't be able to like not notice it. I don't know. Why is that thing up there?
I don't know. Like,
if there just was a reason for it, I don't know if there was, if I'd have a problem with it.
Yeah.
But they just have a platform. You know?
It's fine. They might need it for, you know, VIP tickets or something. People can and stand there.
Is that the thing that Vince jumped off of for WrestleMania last year? Yeah. Is that just what that is?
Probably.
I don't know. I don't know. Also, can I bring up something? Because I don't know where else I would bring this up. Mm. And I only noticed it on this week's show, but I've been told it's been happening since the beginning. The like in-arena screen that goes around near the top, right? It's got like the paint splatters and the NXT stuff or whatever. It also has the graphic just of people. Like there's a crowd edited onto this. It's really jarring for me to see rows of people, and then it stops, and then there's 6 feet of wall, and then more people that are fake on there to make it look like they have a bigger crowd.
Yeah.
Especially when those people are like cut off at the waist, you know, because it's a graphic.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just saw this week, and I was like, I couldn't stop looking at it.
Yeah. I think I'm going to need to go look at that because I genuinely haven't noticed.
Yeah.
I can tell
they're trying to make it look like they've got a bigger crowd by having this graphic. But the graphic is 6 feet above the last row, and there's like 6 feet of white wall right there. Like if it was a black wall, you might be able to get away with it. But everything here has to be bright and colorful.
Who knows?
Yeah.
We got a little backstage thing with Andre Chase and Cameron Grimes. Genuinely couldn't tell you what they said. Some stuff.
Cameron Grimes told him to go to hell.
Cool.
I'm sure we'll get a match next week.
Great.
Yeah.
Io Shirai and Zoe Stark and Raquel Gonzalez are backstage and they start infighting. And then Cora Jade goes, hey, guys, are we really going to do the can we coexist thing? Yes. Yes, that's exactly what you're doing, Cora Jade.
Yeah. It's so played out. It's so boring. Yeah.
Yeah, it sure is.
She says in the middle of a segment where they're still doing it.
Just because you reference it doesn't make it okay. You're still doing it.
Yeah.
Like, stop doing the thing.
They did this like a few weeks ago. They were like on Twitter. They're like, ooh, can they coexist? Get it, guys? We're in on the joke.
Yep.
You're not, though. You're not.
It's so frustrating because that's obviously going to be the story in the men's War Games match as well.
Yeah,
it's just, we've just done Survivor Series. Like, oh my God, I'm getting so tired of the can we coexist?
Yeah.
Anyway, Tony D'Angelo, I wrote here, he said something, I wasn't paying attention.
There was no point to this promo. He was asked his opinion on the main event. Which I guess played into the main event, but I don't know. I don't have the energy to go into why this style of writing doesn't make sense. Like, there needs to be a reason for this to happen first. You know, there needs to be a reason for this to be able to foreshadow the main event. You can't just have the random thing interjected in the movie to foreshadow the ending. It's got to be a reason for that thing to be there. Yeah, whatever. Yeah. Who cares?
Who cares? Speaking of caring, they don't care about their champions because it's Mandy Rose versus Cora Jade. Next.
I promise I like this show.
I like the start of it.
Yeah.
And not much of the rest. but Mandy Rose vs. Cora Jade was happening. And then the finish was Katie Ray came out and was distracting her with a bat. She just started breaking stuff again because that is what she does. She's a Limp Bizkit fan. She likes to break stuff. And then she threw a bat into the ring to distract Mandy. And Mandy got distracted. And then Cora Jade rolled her up. NXT Women's Champion Mandy Rose loses to Cora Jade.
Yeah. They just can't help themselves, can they?
No.
Like I said, I don't know what it was 2 weeks ago because I've purged that memory from my brain, honestly. But this week was Mandy Rose. Last week was Roderick Strong. The week before that was someone else. It was Carmelo Hayes. Yeah, Pete Dunne beat him. Yeah. They just can't help themselves. And I don't know. And it breaks my brain because it's so stupid, but they keep doing it. I don't know. Whatever. Who cares?
It's very stupid. It's very stupid.
Mandy Rose is your women's champion, you know, and she's still just losing on TV.
Who knows? That's some loud banging on Tempest then.
I'll be right back. You continue. Okay. This next segment doesn't matter.
He's right, you know. Tempest thingy, we had a Hazen Williams then got a promo. Joe Gacy got a promo. Katie Ray was announced as the fourth member of the War Games team for EO, because Zoe Stark is injured for EO, Raquel, and Cora Jade. Their fourth teammate is Katie Ray against Toxic Attraction and Dakota Kai, which is fine. That's cool, I guess. I'm not super into the match. I'll be real with you. Also, Rob, yes, that was a Harry Potter reference. You're quite right. And after that, we got Joe Gacy versus LA Knight, except that we didn't get Joe Gacy versus LA Knight because it never actually started because Grayson Waller started attacking LA Knight on the outside and then they brawled and stuff like that. Cool. And instead, Joe Gacy does a promo saying something about I don't care. It was something about inclusivity or whatever. Who cares? Diamond Mine come out and answer the promo. And Joe Gacy says that he has no respect for Roderick Strong. He's saying that being a cruiserweight is inherently exclusive and excluding because you're putting a weight limit on it. And then they're saying it's going to be Strong versus Gacy at War Games for the Cruiserweight Championship, and then Harland protected Joe Gacy from a beatdown from the Creed brothers.
Yeah, I didn't get this.
Cool.
It's Joe Gacy's back to doing his regular nonsense.
Yeah.
And it sucks. And I don't feel like talking about how much it sucks anymore. You know, it was all right for a few weeks, but nah, this is lame. This is lame. And we're just, the cruiserweight title is going to be an open weight title, I guess. Mm. You know,
And doesn't matter. Do you know what else as well? You want to know what else is lame? MSK. Oh no. They're still bad. How did I miss a week of NXT and they're still doing the same thing? Surely this should end at some point.
They've been traveling for like a month.
At least.
So stupid.
They got pulled over by cops and like they insinuating that they had weed. And then they like go to like, oh no, we're going to get caught by the cops. And then a car speeds and the cop goes, oh, I need to go get them. And they go, oh, we got off light, didn't we? Don't care.
I don't want to be a wet blanket, but I don't think that drug arrests are very funny. You know? Not to mention that this whole thing just wasn't funny, let alone the concept of it being funny or not. Like, WWE just can't write comedy. They're not good at it, but they're so determined to just keep trying. I admire their stick-to-itiveness, but I don't think their thought process is, hey, we're going to get better at this and we're going to get there. They're thinking, hey, we're really good at this.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not.
You know, it's such great lines as Wesley, who I think is probably the more charismatic member of MSK, you know, when he's talking to the police officer and he says, oh, sorry, Ossifer. Do you get it? He said the word wrong. It's funny, apparently.
Hey, Ossifer. Damn it. Such overacting. Give me subtlety or give me death.
Yeah. I just...
It's a shame. And now apparently they're not even one of like the top three or four tag teams in this division.
Do you remember when we wanted them versus Grizzled Young Vets?
Yeah. These poor two teams. Holy smokes. You know, they're not old enough to be considered like NXT 1.0 guys, but they're also not Vince's NXT 2.0 guys.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is the worst part that you could be in NXT right now.
Yeah.
This like middle of the road, kind of old school, but not old enough school guy. Yeah, it's rough.
But speaking of new school that's really, really good, Ivy Nile versus Yulisa Leon. Ivy Nile is great. She's had one match before, I think.
Yeah, I called this her debut. Apparently she debuted the week that I was off.
That makes sense.
But yeah, this was great.
It was really good. It was similar to her first match as well, just a proper squash, and she looks great coming out of it. She's just really cool. She has such a presence, such a great physicality in the ring. She's very gifted as a wrestler. Like her finish being like the rear guillotine thing that she does with linking her hands behind her back. It's like, oh, that's great. She's just really good. She looks amazing.
Looks like a star, acts like a star, wrestles like a star. She's a star.
Yeah, man.
You know, and like the Creed brothers, as much as I do like their presentation, they don't distinguish themselves from each other or anything. They're just like, you know, they're a couple of heavies, and that's fine. But Ivy Nile, like, to me right now, as far as WWE goes, I think she has the most upside of anyone in the group.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, for sure. I'm
really impressed by this match. I love the Dragon Sleeper as a move, and she's doing a modified Dragon Sleeper as her finish. Scoring big points with me, Ivy Nile. Let's go.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. She looks great, and it's a rare occasion where one of the many squash matches on NXT 2.0 really worked.
Yeah, great. It really did. And if they were all this good, I probably wouldn't dislike this show at all. But this was a really fun squash match that made me go, wow, look at this new star. As opposed to, all right, this is a waste of 5 minutes of my life. I like those minutes back, please. This was really, really, really cool.
It's funny you mentioned 5 minutes that wasted your time that you want back, because next we got Grizzled Young Veterans versus Briggs and Jensen.
Yeah. These poor guys. They're just bad at being heels now for some reason.
Yeah, I don't know. Also, did they pickpocket a guy before the match?
They did. That's illegal. You can't do that.
Which means they're also good at doing stuff like that and distractions and sleight of hand.
Yeah.
But they're also bad at it.
They've been doing these vignettes week after week of them practicing being bad. And now they're bad at being bad. I don't know. This is storytelling. This is the match that comes before the vignettes where they're like, hey, we need to get better at that. We need to go and train. We've lost our touch. But they've done the vignettes first, and then the thing that causes the vignettes. What is going on here? Why are they losing to the American-Americans?
Because the American-Americans are NXT 2.0.
That's true.
Whatever. Then we got the main event. Also, Boa had a promo, and Solo Sikoa had a promo earlier. Don't care about either of them, really. Solo Sikoa is still cool, but like the promo didn't really add anything to his character. It's more of the same of what we've heard.
He said day one. He mentioned the Usos.
He's an Uso.
Yeah, but he's like, I forget what he said, but it was like, I stood with since day one, whatever. He talked about the Usos, who cares? I don't remember what he said.
Eloquent. Tempest.
Yeah. Thank you. I try my best.
Just call him an Uso, for God's sake. We then got the main event of Johnny Gargano versus Pete Dunne versus Carmelo Hayes for the North American Championship in a triple threat. And you know what? I criticize WWE shows for their pacing and the weird placement of the ad breaks all the time and things like this.
Got it right
this
here,
was a
yeah.
really good example of them doing it right. Because you had Johnny Gargano made his entrance. It cut to an ad break. It came back. Pete Dunne was already in the ring, and Carmelo Hayes was finishing his entrance as it came back from the ad break. And it didn't matter that they missed their entrances, because Dunne and Carmelo Hayes already had promos on this show, whereas Johnny Gargano didn't. Johnny gets the entrance, they don't, you come back, and the match starts. Good! Do yeah. that! You know how to do it, just do more of it.
Do that every time. This yep. is what we want!
Yep.
It's what we want. And I'm glad that you brought that up, because we do harp on this all the time. So they did it. They did it well. So you get a thumbs up. This is yep. a plus one. It bumps your yes. show up a peg as opposed to down a peg. You see how I like this show more?
You Crazy, know,
I
right?
actually enjoyed this show more than usual. And yeah. because you bump it up a peg as opposed to down. Yeah, this is good.
And also, speaking of good, this was a really good main event. You know? Mm-hmm. Three really good wrestlers that went back and forth, kept up a good pace. The story was fine. Finish. Yeah. But the actual content of the wrestling itself was good. Lots of big moves in this one, as some of the classic, you know, the bitter end counted into a DDT, big poison runners, you know, stuff like that. A lot of slingshot spears from Johnny Gargano. All of that stuff. You saw all of it in this match, and it was great. But then it came out towards the end where Pete Dunne hits the bitter end onto Johnny Gargano. Looked like he was going to win. But Tony D'Angelo, forget about it,
forget came about out. It.
came out and cost Pete Dunne. Pulled him out the ring and threw him into the stairs. And then that allowed Carmelo Hayes to hit the leg drop onto Johnny Gargano and get the win. And Johnny Gargano got protected because obviously he hit with the bitter end and the leg drop to lose, which... makes sense. And Carmelo Hayes retains, which is good for him. Gets a big win over Pete Dunne and Johnny Gargano. Like, the booking was all good. Like, the right person won in the right fashion. But it was just, it still felt a little bit, like, flat in terms of the booking. And Tony D'Angelo, for some reason, coming out. Obviously, it helped because they were, you know, they were setting up the War Games thing afterwards. But that came after. There was no precedent for Tony to come out beforehand, basically.
Yeah, like, if there was a reason for Tony D'Angelo to be here, like, I don't know, if we had gotten... See, if you just, at the beginning of the show, you have a segment where, like, Mackenzie Mitchell or somebody is backstage about to try and get an interview with Carmelo Hayes, and you see Tony D'Angelo come out of his locker room.
Mm-hmm.
And then later in the show, you do the Tony D'Angelo thing where he's like, I don't know, I wouldn't put money on Pete Dunne winning this match. And then at the end of the match... you get this finish, then it all plays together, because then you could be like, oh, what was he doing in Carmelo Hayes' locker room? Maybe he paid him off. Oh, blah, blah, blah. We never got that first bit to lead you to believe that something like this would happen. So then when this happens, it feels out of place, you know? Mm-hmm. So I get it. They did all of this just so that they could set up War Games or whatever. That's fine. But I would have preferred just seeing Carmelo Hayes get like a big win in just a clean win in a really good match.
Yeah,
that's just me. I thought this match was, like, good. I thought this was a good main event. I was kind of hoping for, like, a great main event. Like, a
mm-hmm.
like one of those blow-away matches that absolutely knocks my socks off. And it wasn't quite that, but I did thoroughly enjoy it. So, like, I'm not going to complain about it. I was hoping for, like, the knock it out of the park 5 out of 5 main event. And I don't think we really got that. But it was It was close-ish.
Yeah, it was close-ish. Mm-hmm. But then we got, obviously, the setup for the War Games match afterwards that we spoke about, because they started brawling some more. Dunne and LA Knight started attacking Tony D'Angelo. Ciampa saves Gargano from a beatdown. Ciampa, Gargano, Dunne, and Knight versus Waller, D'Angelo, Hayes, and Williams. Crowd were chanting for War Games. Bron Breakker comes out and says, War Games! And then the siren for War Games goes off for ages while they continue to brawl, which is less good. But, you know, that's fine. That's just my issue with general WWE presentation. But there you go. Like, I'm still mostly looking forward to the match. It's a bit muddled and the story's a bit off, but I'm sure it'll be superficially fun, like we mentioned before. So overall, this was okay. This episode, this was a 3 out of 5 for me. This was all right. The opening like couple segments were really good, and I just wanted them to keep that up, and then they didn't. They had a lot of stuff that kind of brought it right back down. And again, the main event was really good, but the finish felt a little bit anticlimactic with the booking. But overall, good. Better than normal for NXT 2.0.
Yes. And I think I've given some recent episodes like a 3 out of 5, and I think this was better than this, than that. So on the NXT scale, I'll probably give this like a 4 out of 5, just because I like the opening match a lot. And then I like the main event as well. And I liked Ivy Nile's debut. Not debut. Damn it. I keep saying that. Wasn't her debut. It's her debut to me, damn it. It's the first time I've seen her wrestle. But yeah, I thought this was a much better than average episode of NXT. Certainly better than last week, which I never want to think about ever again.
Yeah, totally. Well, let's get into the remainder of your Ultra Chats here. But before we do, I just want to say that once more that we are sponsored by Beer52, who are some awesome people. Go check out the links at the top of the description and in the live chat. Beer52.com/WrestleTalk. Go check it out and get 10 free craft beers for UK viewers only. You only have to pay for the postage of $5.95. Get your beers, drink them, drink responsibly. They're great. They're tasty. Expand your beer palate. They're good beer. 52. B52.com/WrestleTalk.
Yeah.
Go do the thing. And you get a snack. It's great. The remainder of your Ultra Chats. Riot DR says, with the way NXT 2.0 is going, Joe Gacy might beat Roderick Strong and rename the Cruiserweight belt the Everyweight Championship. Open weight is taken. LIW for life. I mean, you say open weight's taken. They'll still name it open weight.
Yeah, you could have... Yeah, I don't think they've trademarked the term open weight.
No.
But, yeah... It's whatever. I still like Lori's... I think it was Lori's idea. It might have been Luke's idea. I don't remember. Mm. Idea of just having Odyssey Jones win the Cruiserweight title.
Yes. Please do that.
Why aren't we getting that match? He pinned Roderick Strong. What did Joe Gacy do to earn a friggin' title match?
Didn't they have that match? Odyssey Jones versus Roderick Strong? Wasn't that on
205 or something? They did a tag match. I don't know. I don't watch 205 live.
No, I don't know.
As far as I'm concerned, as far as I'm concerned, that match, that show doesn't exist.
Out of canon. James Handley says, guys, I'm really starting to think I'm going insane. I swear that Von Wagner was on SmackDown, but nobody believes me. I'm staring at my conspiracy wall of picks, pins, and string currently. I can't sleep. I can't eat. Have I gone mad?
Sounds like James Handley is just Sami Zayn in disguise. I think we found Sami Zayn's burner. I mean, he's talking about a conspiracy. Not fooling me, Sammy.
No, exactly.
Tell me about where El Generico is and we can play ball.
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about. Von Wagner was never on SmackDown in a backstage segment with Adam Pearce and Sonya Deville and Sami Zayn, and he didn't say anything and was just there and was never referenced and didn't have a nameplate or anything. That never happened.
Nope. Never happened.
Nope. Forget about it. Mr. Not So Casual says, for a more serious Ultra Chat, even if Joe Gacy's character was this magically great social commentary instead of trash boomer bait, it seems like a weird approach to openly mock 90% of that 40 and under demo you're desperate to make NXT appeal to. Yeah.
I mean, I get getting that heat. You gotta get some heat, brother. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I don't know. I think it's the wrong kind of heat. This is the kind of heat that people aren't very interested in. You know, it's all these new NXT carrot catchers. I can't say caricature. Caricature, is that how it is?
Carrot catcher. So
yeah, they're carrot catchers.
Yeah.
Caricatures. Carrot catchers.
They catch carrots. They're carrot catchers.
Yeah, there's going to be a rabbit on this show. No, that's on AEW. That's the bunny. She's a carrot catcher.
Very good, Tempest. Very good. James Handley again says, the problem with WWE writing comedy is that it's told through the lens of an out-of-touch rich guy from a bygone era of excess who has nothing but contempt for his audience. When that is your starting point, it's impressive that anything is funny on the show.
Yes, but in addition, he's also just got the weirdest sense of humor possible.
Mm, that too. Like, he's insane.
You know, yeah, he's nuts. I don't think you're going to find it, like, I don't know. I think it just goes far beyond him being like an out of touch rich guy. I think it's also that he's nuts.
Yeah. Yeah, he is.
He'd be nuts if he didn't have any money.
100%. Matt Sugrim says, here we go, dudes. Will Sat E score the upset with the power of chocolate nipples? Will Tempest fall to NXT UK trivia? Will SRS Blue Chew his way to victory? I have my fellow New Yorker SP3 winning via the most devastating word in wrestling. It's all asterisks, so I don't know what you said, but hashtag JTJ.
I think it's 7 characters, so I don't know what that could be. The most devastating word in wrestling.
Bastard.
Bastard. I don't know. It's going to involve pack. You watch. This whole thing's going to come down to a pack question somehow.
Maybe, yeah. Mr. Not So Casual says, Pete loses the belt for a few days and he's already growing his Triple H Reign of Terror beard. I see where this is going. I don't know what you're talking about. I'm totally fine.
Mm-hmm. He's fine, guys. Please listen totally to fine. Him.
Totally fine. Jedediah Steele has been a member for 4 months in a row. Well done. Just wanted to share with my WrestleTalk family that my baby boy was born today.
Hey!
Malachi Finn Steele is alive and well. That's amazing. Woo! News. Congratulations, Jedediah Steele. Happy for you.
Babies.
Babies are
named
cool,
after two
aren't
wrestlers.
They?
3 if you count George the Animal Steele.
That's true. Yeah.
Malachi Black, Finn Balor, George Steele. That's mm-hmm. his full legal name. They just didn't want to, you know, put the whole thing in one of these chats.
Absolutely, yeah. Anyway, I believe that is it for the Ultra Chats, which means that is going to be it for this episode of NXT. Thank you very much for watching, everyone. Once again, I'm fine. Please stop asking. So, Tempest, Pokemon, what are you doing? What's your team? Who's doing what? Explain all the details. What's happening? Mm-hmm. What do you think of the game?
So, of course, I was busy working yesterday, making sure mm-hmm. that lists are written and NXT is reviewed and such. So I didn't get to play yesterday, so I'm a little bit behind. But mm-hmm. I've got 5 badges currently, and I've got most of my team kind of rounded out, I think. I'm kind of looking to upgrade some people because, stats are not what they should be. I've got some bad natures. But, of course, it's Infernape, Luxray. I went with a Honchkrow this time.
Mm-hmm.
And then a Drapion and a Gardevoir and a Rhydon was my team for this game. I decided to go against some of my usual Gen 4 mm-hmm. choices. So I wanted to mix it up a little bit, get some new blood into this game. So it's been very enjoyable. I've quite enjoyed my time playing it so far. My goodness, trying to find things in the underground is just as tedious as I remember it being. Oh.
No improvements needed on that aspect of the game, I think. I think they just saw it and went, nope, perfect as is.
No, I mean, they're rare for a reason, but like, oh my god, when there's like one way to find a dusk stone until you get the 7th badge, and it's just mining for this stuff, I'm just like, I just want to find it already. I found like 2 stones down there, 2 of them, and it was a water stone and a sun stone, neither of which have any use to me.
Mm-hmm. That's very unfortunate. Are you planning on getting a Rhyperia with your Rhydon?
That's the plan, but I don't think I'm able to do that until the post game. So,
oh really? Is that when you get the protector? To
I'm pretty sure. It? Yeah, they're all over on that other little island that's got at least the Battle Tower in this game. It was the Battle Frontier in Platinum, but that's otherwise, right, yeah. I think it's just the Battle Tower. But you get all the high-level trainers and all of the Electrizer and the Magmarizer and the Dubious Disc and the Reaper Cloth and all the things that allow you to evolve all the other Pokemon into their super sexy new Gen 4 forms.
You know, this might be a hot take, according to all of my friends who also happen to be Pokemon fans. I really like those Gen 4 evolutions that they introduced. The Magmortars, the Honchkrows, the Rhyperias, the Electiviers, all of those guys. I'm like, that's cool. Do that more. And then they haven't since, really.
No, I agree. It's not a hot take to me. Mm. I like pretty much all of them. There's some that I think are pretty useless. Like, I'm never going to use a Yanmega. I'm probably never going to use a Lickilicky. You know, it's stuff like that where it's like, oh, I don't particularly care one way or the other about these ones, but I like the idea. I like that they just went and gave a bunch of Pokemon that kind of sucked and gave them all evolutions. Exactly, I wish they would have continued doing that instead of giving them useless Mega Evolutions that they would ditch one generation later.
Hey man, I like the idea of Mega Evolutions, and I like the idea of regular evolutions. Just do both of them. Make me happy. That'd be fine.
I waited so long for a Houndoom evolution, and then sure enough, we got a Mega, and now I'll never get a regular evolution. Could have had Houndemon.
Oh,
had a
that's
name
a good
prepared
name as well.
For it and everything, yeah.
Oh, man.
Oh, well.
I feel. That could really, like double down on all, like, the dark typing of the stuff, because I feel like he's now a bit more leaning to the fire side of things, the current Houndoom.
Mm-hmm.
Houndemon. I'm really sold just on the name, I'll be real. That does sound fantastic. Damn.
Telling you, man. I've had that idea for a long time, and I was like, yeah, they're going to give him an evolution, because Houndoom is like, it's a decent fire type, but it's not terribly strong. And I was like, oh, give it a third form somehow. Oh, it'd be so cool. Nope.
Yeah, man.
Mega evolution. I just don't like Mega evolutions very much.
That's fair. I quite like a few of them, but also on the subject of Lickilicky, greatest feat I've ever done is Lickilicky holding a normal gem, doing belly drum, explosion.
Damn. Yeah.
Just for all of the death, you know? that's a stab explosion plus six attack with a normal gem.
Yeah.
Not much lives. It's great.
Nope. That would do the trick.
It's pretty
that would do the trick.
I thoroughly enjoyed using Lickilicky when I was doing like draft leagues and stuff for competitive Pokemon. I really enjoyed using Lickilicky as part of that, because obviously they only have the one weakness being fighting. Mm-hmm. And then when you see the very obvious fighting type coming, you equip the berry that halves the super effective fighting types, and then you just pack counter. And then, bang.
Yeah.
I did that against the Harry Armor. It was amazing. He closed combat and just tanked it and then just killed it with a counter. Like, yes. That was a turn incredible. One. It was brilliant.
That's incredible. I love stuff like that. I got into a YouTube channel for a while that was just like some guy like doing really stupid little, not even challenges, but just like, I'm going to wipe out this whole team of legendaries just with, a Dunsparce. Or something, a Stunfisk or whatever, and just was able to do it just because he had the key strats.
Mm-hmm.
Just pissing other people off and making them real toxic.
I thoroughly enjoy toxic people getting defeated on Showdown. That's always a fun time.
Exactly.
I do miss playing competitive Pokemon, but like, I'm so out of it now that like I can't be bothered to relearn everything, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, all the movesets have changed. And that's like half the thing, is you need to know what your opponent can do. And it's just, it's too much, man. I don't want to get into that anymore. That's too much, man. Oh, God. I need to rewatch BoJack. Anyway, let's get out of here, because we've only got a minute until the show. But thank you very much for listening, everybody. Appreciate us letting us just talk about Pokemon for a little while. Appreciate it. Thank you for listening. We'll be back with more content very soon. Appreciate you guys checking us out. And stay safe. We love you very much. Goodbye. Gemma, Gemma.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.